This is an ESO Network production. This week, on a very special one-year anniversary episode of Myopia Defend Your Childhood, we learned that just because you could have a plot and have weapons strapped to your shell doesn't mean you need to use either of them. We watched Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, The Secret of the Ooze. You guys dealt with us for a whole year to get to this point? What were you thinking? Oh, and thanks for one incredible year.
Scott, I'd like to welcome you to our one anniversary episode.
Yeah.
And what have you called us here in a very exciting way to watch?
Nick?
Yeah.
Today we're going to watch the seminal Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie, TMNT2,
What?
The Secret of the Ooze.
What?
From 1991.
What? Well, fantastic.
Yep, I know.
A logical decision after our first episode.
Yep, well, yeah.
So what do you remember about this movie? Because I don't remember much about it at all.
Well, I thought I remembered more than I did. We were just discussing it a minute ago. And in my mind, I was like, oh, yeah, this has Bebop and Rocksteady. It's got Super Shredder. And then it's like, wait, no, it doesn't have Bebop and Rocksteady. They're not in a movie. Oh. Well, so basically, I just know I remember the ninja rap is probably the most memorable thing to me. Vanilla Ice.
Vanilla Ice.
For some reason. And and he does ninja rap with Go Ninja, Go Ninja Go. And it's pretty awesome. And I will bet you that scene is still amazing.
I don't know.
Or at least the most memorable part.
Well, it's funny because we watched the first one, and the first one is what? It's a lot of Henson puppet things, and it looks whatever. I mean, I very appropriately guessed that the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles by Michael Bay would be garbage because it's all CGI, and this is still practical effects. Yeah. I don't remember almost anything about the second one. Other than, yes, the ninja rap.
Okay.
And for some reason, I don't remember them using their weapons.
Huh. I don't know about that.
I really, like, at this point, I remember the cartoons being on the air, I think.
Yeah.
And I remember the merchandise being everywhere and them advertising pretty much everything.
Yeah.
But I remember so little about this movie. It's going to be a treat, question mark?
Yeah. Well, we got our visitor here.
Back to the good old days of not being professional.
No, there's lots of good fighting. The foot, of course.
Yes.
Trying to get the ooze, which was the goop that I believe created the turtles and will create other monsters, and Shredder wants it to create a super version of himself.
Question.
Yeah.
Doesn't he die at the end of the first one? He gets put in a trash compactor, right? Or a garbage truck.
It happens. I made a Terminator 2.
God.
Yeah, came out the same year, by the way. Good year. Terminator 2 and Ninja Turtles 2.
Oh, man. If the T-1000 was Shredder, that'd be a very different movie.
Oh, man.
You see, like, Leonardo take out, like, the sword and hit him in the side and just kind of heals around it. He's like... Wow, it's liquid metal!
No.
Corey Feldman. Corey Feldman in T2.
Oh, God. He wouldn't have been any worse than Edward Furlong, though, let's admit.
Yeah, that's fair.
Well, we're off the rails already.
And we're almost out of time. Is there any last thoughts before we go watch it?
No, I mean, you know, it's not going to be great, but I bet it'd be fun. I bet it'll still be fun with some dumb jokes and, you know, goofy action, and we'll be impressed everything is practical and not CGI. So
fair enough. I'm excited. Let's go watch Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2 : The Secret of the Ooze.
Cowabunga.
Yo, it's the Green Machine, gonna rock the town without being seen. Have you ever seen a turtle get down? Slamming and jamming to the new swing sound. Yeah, everybody let's move. Vanilla is here with the new Jack Boo, gonna rock.
Tired of listening to the same old music over and over? Are you ready to turn off the radio, give up on your iDevice, or admit your music collection just isn't enough to keep you satisfied? Figuier Dynamics has the answer to your listening needs. Dr. Geek's Laboratory, the science of music from fiction, is a fantastic album now available for download, assimilation, and rejuvenation of your tired old playlists. The album is comprised of music and audio excerpts from the first two seasons of the acclaimed show, which chronicles the adventures of Dr. Geek and friends in his fantastic lab. Here at Vigay Dynamics, we feel it is our duty to create eager customers who will devour the inventions, creations, and various other offerings of the good doctor and his lab staff. The album is currently available to download from iTunes, Amazon, CDBaby.com, and all your other retail favorites. Physical CDs of Dr. Geek's Laboratory, The Science of Music and Fiction, will be available in December, just in time for your holiday shopping needs. Vigay Dynamics, bringing you the music of tomorrow, today.
Welcome to Miopia Defend Your Childhood. Tonight, we watch Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, The Secret of the Ooze, the least appropriate memorial to Jim Henson, possibly. Oh. Yeah, I know. I'm Nick Hoffman, your host tonight, and our defendant tonight was...
Scott.
And on panel we have...
Aaron.
Hello, this is Daniel.
Matthew W. Quinn.
And Candace.
And we are recording our one-year anniversary episode.
Hooray!
And there was much rejoicing.
Hooray.
Hooray. All right. Before we get too far into this, Scott, can you tell me how you thought it held up?
Well, I mean, it kind of went exactly as I remembered it. Like, really dumb jokes and goofy fight scenes. And I guess there was less... Vanilla Ice and Super Shredder than I remember, or less enjoyable than I remember. But yeah, overall, it's just a corny, silly little thing that a, however, 6-year-old might have really enjoyed, like I was when it came out.
Yeah, there was a lot less of everything than I remember.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was a nice, tight movie, which is a plus, I guess. Yeah. But there was less fighting than I remember. There was less, literally everything than I remember.
The fight scenes reminded me too much of Batman and Robin, and it was depressing.
Yeah, very little ninja in the Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, only one of them, Donatello, actually used the weapon. His weapon.
He uses it exactly once.
I think twice.
To do what? I mean, really, I don't remember him other than hitting one guy in the back of the head.
He hit one of the ninjas in the midsection and kicked him in the head and then whacked the big turtle, evil turtle, with it.
Yeah.
Oh, but those don't count, right? There's a rule in the MPAA, if it's not a person, it doesn't count as violence. That's why you can rip a vampire's head off and it doesn't count for an R rating. Before we go way off track, Daniel, can you give me a plot summary?
I have a request for somebody. Please give me the Vanilla Ice backing.
And I promise.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's some indeterminate amount of time from the first one, and the turtles are now living in April O'Neil's massive Manhattan apartment. There's like stairs in this thing. We'll get into that later.
Yes.
Shredder somehow survived this little compacting thing from the first one, and he wants revenge, so he finds a scientist who developed the ooze that mutated the Ninja Turtles into the Ninja Turtles, and he plans to use it on a wolf and a snapping turtle, I believe it was. Okay, and so the turtles have to fight it before the Shredder unleashes these two new mutants into New York.
Nicely done.
Yeah. All right.
I've had practice.
So let's start off with what you said at the beginning. The first movie comes out the year before this. This is year to year, very nice and tight. At the end of it, we see Casey Jones with a garbage truck crushing Shredder in the back.
Yep.
How long after that do you think this movie takes place?
I don't know, because...
2 weeks.
Well, we see the Shredder in that dump, so nobody checks the things for bodies. Maybe it's just that's normal in New York, so it's like, we'll get it later.
That's probably true.
And he's still, alive and writhing in there, so...
And the people just arrive at the safe house, right?
Yeah.
And he's I'm in charge now, and then he just shows up.
So maybe it's like Halloween 2, or it's just the same night?
But the reason I ask is, everyone else has moved on completely, right? Because April's in her new apartment?
Yes.
The turtles have been living there apparently for weeks.
They've developed a reputation for ordering pizza in bulk.
Yeah, and And they talk about the defeat of the Shredder. You know, he did the swan dive into the back of the garbage truck, like as though something had happened.
And they keep reenacting
it,
which is horrifying, right? This is a PG movie. We crushed him to death, bro. And that's
and all he had was that scar on his nose, and that was apparently some deformed face because they were
like
so
his face. And all you see are some cuts. And
yeah,
dude, I got hurt more playing paintball a few weeks ago.
Wears a mask anyway. Who cares? Like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah,
nothing happened to him.
Splinter did more damage to his face as a pre-mutated rat that jumped on him and ripped him up real bad 15 years before than the turtles did to him to his face then. But he's all mad now.
Oh, yeah, that did happen in the first one, didn't it? With the rat.
Yeah, I'm the continuity fiend. I will lash this thing with my evil whip of continuity.
Keep going. I want to see where this is ending.
All in good time, my son. All in good time.
Go ninja, go ninja, go.
You're right. It's probably the day after, isn't it?
Yeah. But we don't know. That's the point. Yeah.
Assuming he got compacted into the trash, had to dig his way out, he can live only a few days without water. So
it makes me wonder if it's another set of turtles and another set of, like, another New York City, because it's a different April O'Neil and a different Corey Feldman.
Yeah.
A different Michelangelo. Even though this Michelangelo, or Raphael, acts the exact same and immediately gets captured and immediately ruins everything.
And they got rid of Casey Jones and replaced him with a 16-year-old pizza boy from Spike Lee movies, didn't they?
And wasn't he one of the special effects? Like, he's an actual karate guy.
I know in the credits that was very prominently displayed.
He was a stunt double in the first one. He did like Donatello's moves or something like that.
So are these the creepiest turtles ever?
No.
Which ones are creepier? You said no. Like, you had an answer.
I don't think they were that creepy.
I thought they were terrifying. They don't blink. Their eyes just kind of move around and they get bigger. And they're just like, they're overexpressive.
Well,
they
didn't look like turtles. They looked like just dudes cosplaying at San Diego Comic-Con.
And I think the more awkward part of it to me, comparing them to Tokar, it's Toka and Rezar.
Yes.
Which looked like a different puppetry set. They looked much creepier. They looked too different.
Yeah.
And so it's like someone came out of a different cartoon and ended up in this world. Hmm. It was weird.
How many of us really wanted those to be Bebop and Rocksteady?
I thought they were.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I thought they were.
Everyone.
Works well.
Well, because they were the ones in the cartoons. It's weird that the cartoons, I don't know when the cartoon came out, we should look into this, but they were not.
Maybe it was rights issues, like were they created specifically for the cartoon?
I don't know. I
don't know.
It felt weird.
I think they were the comics as well, because a recent Ninja Turtles comic featured one of them killing one of the turtles.
That's right, Donatello this year.
Yeah.
I guess spoilers.
Well, apparently I read somewhere else they brought him back to life, so I mean, it's a comic book. No one ever stays dead except for Uncle Ben.
Who dies over and over and over again. That's like a Sisyphean hell, which is wonderful. There's got to be something to talk about in this movie.
So, like, Shredder is a horrible bad guy in this. He's not evil. He doesn't threaten anybody. He's not a threat to the city or really to the turtles or to Splinter or anybody.
He just stands around.
Yeah, he's not a bad guy.
I just love how there are tests to join the Foot Clan, and it involves, you know, taking bells off a mannequin without making the bells ring, but when they put the mask on, they're completely useless.
Oh, they're terrible. Yeah, the Foot aren't threatening at all.
Yeah.
It's just bad. There's just no danger in the movie at all.
No wonder Tatsu, the Shredder's general, just standing around looking disgusted every fight scene. He's just standing there, all those little minions go to work, and just sitting there looking angry.
After the first little bit where he talks about, I lead now, did that dude have any more lines in this movie?
He grunted a lot.
He grunted a lot.
And in fact, the turtles talk to him, and he just goes,
I wonder if it gets like Arnold Schwarzenegger. He couldn't speak English, so they didn't really give him very much
to
say.
He has lines.
He's got lines.
So did Arnold Schwarzenegger in Conan.
They can edit this stuff. You have one line and grunting.
And
you don't even have to fight.
And that line was VO anyway, as we pointed out. Like, this is the weirdest sound mixing we've seen in a movie in a long time, too. Is this a world in which people acknowledge the turtles exist? Because when they show up at a concert, no one's freaked out by them. And
somebody says cool costumes.
Those are not costumes.
Well, that's what they say. I don't know.
They're at a bar. The strobe lights are on. Probably half of them are drunk or high on something. Who knows?
Dancing to Vanilla Ice voluntarily.
Yeah,
they're obviously high.
They're all pretty
high.
Messed up. They're at a Vanilla Ice show.
Burn.
Oh.
I mean, Vanilla Ice already has a song about Ninja Turtles.
I think he was making it up as he went along.
Yeah, was he making it up as he went along? Or did that song already exist because he knew of the Ninja Turtles and just saw some dudes dressed as them?
Vanilla Ice is master of the freestyle.
I like the thought that he had a ninja rap song ready to go and just never had a great time to debut it.
This is my time.
Yeah. He saw this happen. He's like, oh, guys, guys, oh my God. Just follow my lead. I have a dance already. I've got the lyrics and
that
little,
wasn't a dance.
The crowd.
That wasn't
it.
A dance so much as jumping.
Well, how did his backup dancers thing. Know what to
it
do?
It was jump humping.
Oh,
jump humping.
It was jump humping.
Thank you, Aaron.
Yeah.
The authority is
in a sequined collar.
Did Vanilla Ice really, like, do rap in a suit? Because he looked like he was
yeah,
wearing
no,
a suit.
That,
he did.
I believe that that was a Vanilla Ice concert. And I actually will buy Candace that he's like, we're playing the number three, but we've never performed it live. Oh, but ninjas are here.
He's still apparently touring, by the way. So
didn't he have a show on HGTV?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think he's an interior, or no, he flips houses or something like that.
Like
interior designer, maybe.
Or the, he's a contractor.
He found a way to make money.
He fell on hard times.
Yeah, he found another way to make money.
Oh, man. Yeah. I made another funny was the last line of this. That scene was way too long and way too short, right? Because they were on that, like, that last scene where they're fighting Toka and Rezar and they end up in that, like, warehouse district is, like, the last 20 minutes. But nothing happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, they try to give him the donuts.
Well, they succeeded because they had a few in them with the donuts. So
yeah, they just didn't eat all of them.
Yeah, with CO2.
You end up with a scene where Michelangelo is straddling them and stuffing the hose from a fire extinguisher down their throat.
That was very cruel. I mean, they're just babies.
They're babies! Which was the greatest. That was the only honest laugh.
Yeah.
There's a lot of very cringy... Well, it's Keanu Reeves. Like, this is 2 years after Bogus Journey, I think.
Yeah.
They're both in the 80s, right? Mm-hmm. And so that, like, after Bill and Ted, this is Bill and Ted just for kids. Not that that wasn't for kids, but, yeah, that was weird. So we got to keep going on something here.
Okay, what was... I'll just say this again. April O'Neil could not afford that damn apartment.
Oh, hell no. That had to be the news station's apartment.
Yeah.
And they were like, okay, you can live in the place that we own.
Well, because your place, other place burned down?
Yeah, well...
That makes more sense.
That way she can get into it like a day later in the timeline.
The reason she was able to blow off her boss, the news manager, maybe she had so much cred from the whole Foot Clan biz from the first movie, she was able to like extort raises from them and stuff.
Yeah, Foot Clan stories, real Pulitzer-worthy material.
Mm. Which they made fun of. Like, they say there's no story over and over again.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And, like...
Maybe they were just referring to this movie.
Burn.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
I've got it.
What's that?
Control save. Nailed it. Oh, I stole your line, Nick.
This entire movie exists in a universe where April O'Neil has sold the story from the first one, sold the rights, and this is the movie resulting from that sale.
Yeah,
She's Commissioner Gordon with the bat signal. Like, she's the only one who can talk to them.
Mm. Yep.
The comic
pizza
books,
signal.
The pizza.
Pizza send.
I've never both wanted and not wanted pizza more in my life.
You gotta admit, the first scene's kind of funny.
What was up with the opening credits where everyone's just eating New York style pizza and there's like cheese
they don't address
just dribbling
it. It's
off
like
it.
Really good. There's just every single person in around New York they show, just random
there
people.
There has got to be a product placement going on there.
But there wasn't.
No, there wasn't. They weren't eating Domino's or even like famous
Domino's.
It was
Roy's. In New York, you
it
heretic.
Was Roy's.
Famous. Well, don't they eat Domino's in the new one?
In the new one, that's one of the problems people had. You know, they're living in New York City and they're eating Pizza Hut.
Yeah.
I think it was just product placement for pizza in general, like the United Pizza Growers of America.
It's like United Pizza Growers, the Dairy Farmers of America.
Yeah.
That
it was like the pizza industry group funded this movie. Yes.
It was simultaneously the best and worst looking pizza I've ever seen. Like, it's dripping cheese. It's disgusting.
It's New York style. Thin,
that would be a
all over you.
That would be a terrific hangover pizza right there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it was funny that you say that, because it really did start with, like, almost like Woody Allen, like people like looking like longingly at park benches, holding glasses of wine, and then they take up pieces of pizza, like cabbies eating it. Like,
imagine like the beginning of Manhattan, the little montage with Gershwin, and everyone just pulls out a greasy slice of pizza.
Suddenly,
black and white.
Suddenly, I really just want to see Woody Allen direct a Ninja Turtles movie.
It's the story of a city with turtles. It would be appropriate because instead of a bunch of adults trying to pick up teenage girls, it's a bunch of teenagers trying to pick up adult women.
Yeah.
Which is really... They have pinups in her apartment.
Yes.
Yeah, Kato tries to do that twice. First,
He breaks into April's apartment.
First, he hits on those women. They call him a dweeb, so he makes a comment about their weight. And then he basically pushes his way into April's apartment. And for a reason, I mean, is he hitting on her? Is he just being obnoxious? Or
I think he figured out the turtles live there.
Yeah.
I think at that point he had. And as a side note, guys, there's no better way to pick up a woman than telling her she's too fat.
Now, Aaron, Candace, you're the resident women here.
You're technically women.
Would you date Kino?
That is an amazing 90s mullet.
Yeah.
I will
there.
It doesn't even move. It's very Pierce Brosnan.
Ooh, Aaron, are you blushing?
My first boyfriend was a pizza delivery man.
Oh.
True story.
Did he have a mullet?
He did not. No.
Did he know martial arts?
No.
Was he a turtle?
No, all the way around disappointing. Really.
Sad.
Not a life choice I would encourage.
Scott, so you know what you have to do? You need to show up one day with a mullet, carrying pizza, and dress in a turtle costume. That's what you got to do.
Oh, Tuesday. It's Tuesday at the Miller House.
Turtle Tuesday.
Oh,
Turtle Tuesday. Turtle Tuesday. Yeah, sure.
We don't get sponsored by enough pizza places. This is not even a big sausage
We really
pizza.
Should.
Oh, a sausage pizza? No, that's
a important story.
No.
That might get edited out. It won't get edited out.
I do have something else I would like to talk about.
What's that?
David Warner is one of my favorite character actors, and he's the professor in this.
Yeah.
It was so disappointing to see him because it felt like he was degrading himself.
But he was the only one who knew what was going on, at least.
I know.
He was the only one who got to read the script before they started acting in it.
But he still danced at the concert.
Oh, he did dance at the concert.
He was dancing really intensely.
Danger, danger, white guy dancing, danger.
Everyone was white in that audience. Yeah.
No, except the Eddie Murphy lookalike.
Oh, who said, damn, nice costume.
Yeah.
I think there are a couple of black women in there, too, but I mean...
Okay, yeah.
99% white, 100% white, not much of a difference.
I'm not going to edit that out.
Not at all. Not at all.
I'm looking to see what this guy directed. Otherwise, it's all TV after this. He did a lot of Weeds. He did a lot of
He did a lot of Weed? That explains
That explains
things.
A lot, yeah. He did The Closer in Grey's Anatomy. I mean, that's really all TV. I think they kicked him out of Hollywood after this.
Well, then, this seems like it would be just a work-for-hire gig, because wasn't the first one, like, one of the most profitable movies ever?
Yeah, because it cost, like, $20 to make.
Yeah, so it's like, all right, just get somebody behind the camera. We got to shoot this thing and get it out next year, because, I mean, Vanilla Ice is in this movie. This didn't have a very long shelf life.
I need to splice in. I've heard audio of him talking about where he came up with the idea for the ninja rap.
Oh, no.
And he's like, I just thought ninjas, and I went. I sing about what I know.
Which David Bowie song did he rip off?
Oh, no. Apparently, he actually did rip something off, though. It's a basketball team. They used to chant.
Oh, the Knicks, right?
Yeah. Go Brooklyn, go Brooklyn, go. Go Brooklyn,
oh
go.
God.
Was for the Knicks during the... or something like that, right?
Well, I feel like that's a...
Yeah, that's just...
Everyone owns that. Go something... Go something. I don't know.
I just like to kick Vanilla Ice around because he can still
make more
money than I can.
Speaking of kicking Vanilla Ice around, there's a good little story here if you look up some trivia.
Yeah, please.
Mm-hmm. Vanilla Ice first arrives on the movie set, and the actor playing Michelangelo in full costume goes up to Vanilla Ice to give him a hug and welcome him aboard. But Vanilla Ice is... I like how this is written. Vanilla Ice's overweight bodyguard stiff arms Michelangelo and the entire crew. Keep in mind, there's like a lot of martial arts trained people on this crew. They all step up to defend Michelangelo and they're about to attack Vanilla Ice.
I'd rather see that movie.
Or the stunt coordinator steps in and goes, whoa, 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 guys, come on now.
That's the movie I'd want to see. I'd want to see, like, a bunch of martial arts trained people.
Turtles versus Vanilla Ice. Yeah. That's an hour
that's
and a half.
That's the movie.
Easy. Yeah.
Well, didn't some other rapper, like, hold him from his ankles from a balcony?
Suge Knight, or how are you pronounced? Suge Knight.
And now Suge Knight, or whatever his name is getting charged with murder. So, I mean, the anger management issues go back decades.
Suge Knight's been involved in a lot of stuff.
What the hell?
That goes a little beyond anger management issues.
I do like that idea, though. Like, that he didn't realize what was going on, that the man in the suit was somehow going to harm him. Also, I would have loved a stiff letter from the Henson Company. You just damaged a $150,000 puppet.
Nice job, bodyguard.
I think the last thing we really need to focus on before, I guess, we go way off the rails, because we've already talked for 20 minutes about literally nothing here.
Like the Seinfeld episode.
It is. The Seinfeld episode where they go to see Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. This is the worst vision of New York we've seen yet. Yeah. It has to be.
Well, what was up with that scene where April's trying to lead them across the street, and it's like, it's clear. It's New York. The streets are never clear. There would be at least
there's no one there. In fact, Toka and Rezar are destroying a block in New York. And there's no one there.
There's no casualties.
Only the two old people, and they're like, well, they can get their own cab.
But they're not in the shot. The establishing shot where they show the street, they're not there. Then they cut to the old people at a cab, and then they cut back. There's no one in... it couldn't look more like a backlot if they tried.
Well, you know what? That's probably for the best, because we didn't know what those two were going to do. After all, Nick...
They're babies!
I'm going to keep prompting you to do that. It amuses me.
It was the only honest laugh we had.
It was.
But, like, the first movie, New York is very gritty, but it's New York. Like, you see the foot stealing things from windows. You see them up on, like, on the fire escapes, breaking into people's houses. There's not even that here. There's just ninjas that show up and pull their masks off.
Well, the beginning of those dudes wearing pantyhose over their heads looting the underground mall.
That Kena, it looked like that underground Kena tries Atlanta. To place yeah. under arrest.
Then Kino's like,
you're under arrest.
Citizen's arrest.
Well, that was the stupidest
scene. Well, the fact there are about 10 more of them, it actually worked. He took down 4 ninjas.
But he couldn't escape from a trash can.
Yeah. Well, they weren't the Foot Clan.
No.
No.
Oh, I was just saying.
They were just guys with pantyhose on their heads.
Yeah, burglars. Yeah.
Oh, my God, this movie.
There's also Tuesday at the Miller House right there. Guys with pantyhose on their heads.
Pantyhose on your head.
Oh, that's Wednesday.
You wouldn't want to confuse your days.
Right.
Yeah, I get confused.
Furry Tuesday, cross-dressing Wednesday. What next?
I believe Thursday night is taco night at the Miller household.
Yeah, it's just tacos.
Taco Thursday.
And then, of course, Stir Friday. Thank you, Archer.
Ah, Stir Friday.
Edit that out so we don't get sued.
You're not going to get sued for that stupid of a joke. A.
Oh, thank you.
And B, when the sun goes down, it's Shabbos. You can't have stir fry. I'm sorry.
And he can't roll on the Shabbos either.
Man, when you put this thing together, it's going to be like a 9-minute show.
Big Lebowski, people.
We understood it, Nick. That was just lamer. That was just even a lamer joke than I would make.
Yeah, no, we keep one-upping each other. There's nothing to talk about.
I mean, they make a super shredder for 45 seconds. Yeah, and he defeats himself.
In which he doesn't fight. He just goes around in like some sort of roid rage, tearing down the guy on top of him.
Yeah, well, he does hurt. Which one was it that he grabbed? Was it that Leonardo or Ralph?
Might have been. It was Ralph Nader. Ralph Nader comes up as a joke because why not?
Because the nets are efficient, and that was what Ralph Nader was known for.
No, it wasn't.
He was known for car safety.
I was being sarcastic, Nicholas.
The thing is, this is not a movie. There's no script. Right. It was like when they make movies like this, they call in people to punch up the script to add jokes. Mm-hmm. That was all this was. It was all like hacky jokes and no dialogue.
Is it wrong for me to go ahead and admit that I liked Kevin Clash's Splinter?
Yes.
Okay.
Go ahead. Why did you like Kevin Clash's Splinter?
I don't know. Because considering all the other crap they were throwing at me, that was like the one element where I'm like, oh, he's on screen and he doesn't make me want to hurt myself.
Oh, man. I couldn't listen to half this dialogue. I was like, oh, God, no. I was
covered. Plus, I found it funny that Elmo was trying to impersonate Mr. Miyagi.
And it was the best voice by far.
Oh, my God, Raphael with completely different accent than his brothers when they all grew up in the same place.
Yes, I want to ask that question too.
There's some internal logic lacking in this movie.
They all grew up in the sewers of New York. Mm-hmm. Why did they learn to speak like Californian surfers?
Yeah, I was going to say Raphael's the only one with the appropriate accent.
And then Donatello talks like a person.
From L.A.
Yeah, sometimes
it's kind of boring. Yeah.
Sometimes, when he's talking to the professor, they're talking like normal people. Then it gets really heightened when they're talking to each other, broing out. Yeah. It's amazing. And Mr. Miyagi.
And
they were
taught to speak by an Asian rat.
Yeah,
talks with an Asian accent for no reason.
Well, he was the pet of a Japanese immigrant, so him actually speaking English with a Japanese accent makes sense.
In this movie, it doesn't, though, because their creation story is different.
Correct me if I'm wrong,
but the creation story is the same. Splinter would have ended up in the sewer probably after Shredder killed him. What's his name? His master before.
Yeah.
So then they come across the ooze. I mean,
I have vague memories.
I don't see any contradiction here.
I have vague memories of the cartoon, but wasn't Splinter originally human in the cartoon?
Yeah,
like he wasn't a mutated rat?
And that didn't really make any sense.
Yeah.
There are a lot of things. They also didn't use their weapons, really, which we mentioned before. None of the things that make them the turtles, other than the terrible jokes. I didn't remember any of this movie, I'll be honest, until Vanilla Ice showed up.
The only thing I remembered from this movie was Super Shredder at the end. That's the only thing I remembered.
And it's such a letdown to watch it again, because it's for
a minute. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it makes no sense, because somehow his costume mutates along with him.
And at no point is he and the ooze, like, together in a situation where they can...
Well, he pulled that little vial out from wherever and threatened to dump it on that woman, and then they knock him out of a window with a keytar.
And he's
he
drank it, I guess, when he fell.
When he was off screen.
Yeah.
And then he doesn't die. His hand comes back up, because no one can die, apparently.
Except Uncle Ben.
Except for Uncle Ben.
And Thomas and Martha Wayne, mustn't forget them.
And Kenny, of course.
And Kenny. That would have been a great addition. I got nothing.
Well, if we want to talk about film stuff, how does the new April compare to the old April? Because she didn't seem like a bad actress, but she looked a little young to be a New York reporter.
I miss the yellow jumpsuit.
Yeah, she didn't look right, she didn't sound right, and she was too successful for my take. I like the idea in the old one, she was kind of a scrappy reporter, and that's how she was always on the outs. But the idea that she's on the nightly news every night as the head anchor, she's not going to be hiding in the shadows the rest of the time. Mm. That's not how that works, usually.
No.
Yep.
She's going to be fighting to, like, get on Fox News these days or something.
Well, I mean, the thing is, there's nothing that holds this movie together. They stumble in scene to scene. Yeah. It's the most frustrating movie we've done in a long time.
They tell you, like, for example, that I've even forgotten those two mutants' names, Toka and Razor.
One referencing the weed they smoked, and the other for the line of blow.
Ah, okay. Thank you. They kept telling us that they were
They're
threats.
Babies! That's what they kept telling
but
us.
But speaking of...
Stupid babies.
They're distilled.
Stupid babies.
The chemical is distilled, right?
Distilled.
It's distilled when they're given to Toka and Razor.
Yeah.
Does Shredder just drink it?
Yeah.
Like, just chugs it back.
Oh, that explains why he just destroyed the bridge and killed himself, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because he drank the stupid version of the ooze.
Mm-hmm.
Bro!
So he got huge and strong and dumb.
I'm Crack Stuntman.
Now this movie makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Mm. Tied it all together.
So how do we know that he's dead? I mean, it's like, he survived this? Who could have survived this? His hand comes out of the ground and then, like, kind of goes limp. And it's like, okay, yeah, that means he's dead. Yeah.
Well, there was
passed out. No,
there was a third one that he didn't show up in, so.
Yeah, Turtles in Time.
Oh, so this was leaving it open for a sequel, but we're not going to see him again in the sequel.
Nope.
Right. Yep.
Do we see Bebop and Rocksteady, though?
Nope.
As, like, Asian warriors? Because they go back to Samurai. Like, they're dressed in Samurai. I remember that.
Yeah. And so never shall he dine on turtle soup. Never shall he.
What was that?
Just going to leave dead air. Just going to leave dead air.
It's a joke about his tonight we dine on turtle soup. Well, now he's dead, so he never can.
Dead air.
I'm hungry.
Dead air.
You want some pizza?
Yeah, let's go get some pizza. But before we get pizza, we should do a final judgment here. Or I guess our verdict.
Yeah.
That never caught on, did it?
What?
We tried in the first episode to call it the verdict.
Well, you usually go around, what do you think? Would you recommend it?
Yeah, recommendation.
Yeah.
Judgment. Bum, bum, bum.
So for those of you who listen to the podcast by subscribing, you listen to our first episode. I re-released it for the in-between weeks so you can kind of hear how far we've come. And I actually remastered it because the audio was atrocious because I didn't know what I was doing then. That's fair. I still don't. You should probably listen to all the pops that came out of this microphone. But, yeah, I'd like to thank everyone around this table for being part of this circle that we've done this now for...
Yeah.
Well, this will be our 49th episode.
Woo!
Woo!
And we have a lot more coming, including our first Public Defender Month, which we will be recording starting next week. Yes. Dramatic. And this might be one of the most bizarre movies we've done.
It's...
Yeah. But we are just about time for our kind of final thoughts. So we'll go around the table this way, so Scott can give it ours last as the defendant. So, Candace, what do you think?
I'm coming out of this not really knowing what I think. I mean, it wasn't like really bad, but it wasn't like really good either. I mean, it was a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie. If I saw it before as a kid, I don't remember that one. The plot didn't make a whole lot of sense to me, but it had some moments, and I mean, it was good for a laugh and for a 90s period piece, I guess. I say that about a lot of things from the
90s. Yeah, absolutely.
So, I don't know. I don't know what 5 or 6 year olds today are into, but maybe show one of them it and see what they think.
Yeah, it can't be any worse for them than Barney and Friends. Matt, what do you got?
I don't remember liking the first one very much because of some storyline flaws, like Splinter's completely unexplained ability to engage in astral projection. But this movie managed to be worse. Just go see the first one, because the first one, in retrospect, is actually okay. This one is just disappointing. And I liked the second one better than the first one. I was a little kid, so, you know, this did not stand up.
Thank you. Daniel.
I'm honestly not sure where to begin. We've done way worse here, and it is a very tight movie, I will say that. They don't linger on any of the problems, but that's just because they're immediately going and making new mistakes. So I guess that's something. But I barely remembered anything about this movie from when I was a kid except Super Shredder, and even going back and seeing it now, I kind of understand why. There was just nothing really engaging about it, so... I don't know. I remember the first one okay. I remember the third one a lot more. I'd maybe check those out before coming back to this one.
I think that means you're defending the third one for next anniversary.
Am I?
I guess
all right.
So.
And Vanilla Ice, you're fucking terrible.
Amen.
Thank you, Daniel. Aaron.
I really got the feeling with the absence of plot and the absence of direction that, I don't know, maybe Ninja Turtle action figures and tennis shoe sales were down, so they wanted to put out something as quickly as possible because they knew that kids would drag their parents to see this film, me and my brothers among them. For which, Mom, Dad, I apologize because I realized that we also had this movie at home and watched it on repeat. So, you know, it's a terrible film, but it is a film that kids of a certain age group might still enjoy. You know, the hokey jokes and the silly banter that make adults cringe, but, you know, that kids are still into because they don't know any better, because they're babies.
Baby! They're babies!
That reminds me of a joke from The Critic. Like, at one point, Jay Sherman's hired to write Ghost Chasers 3, and there's a line where it's like, you know, underwear sales didn't do as well as we wanted in Mexico for Ghost Chasers brand underwear. Can you make his pants fall down in Mexico? Like, that's what it feels like. It's like, you know, we need them to ride around around in a magic... what if they fought Super Shredder? Can we make an action figure of Super Shredder? Mm-hmm. Like, that's exactly what I got the feeling
too. Oh, yeah. They can start making Toka and Rezar action figures and
Who?
Super
Doesn't
Shredder.
Doesn't matter. We've got them.
April O'Neil's in different clothing. Oh, now you got to get business April and...
With shoulder pads.
And aerobics April. And
Action
yeah.
Citizen Arrest Kino.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool. And instead of the Foot Clan, it was the Stalking Gang, I guess. So, Scott, how you doing?
I mean, everything I remembered about this movie was, like, the set pieces, you know, like the fight in the lab and Super Shredder and the concert with Vanilla Ice. And then, you know, you watch it, you know, all linked together, and it's, like, it's just a movie of set pieces. It's, okay, here's the next fight scene, and then here's the next crap. I don't know. It's just not... There's not much of a movie there. There's no bad guy. There's no danger. There's nothing to really drive it. It's called The Secret of the Ooze, and it's like a very... They kind of just burn through, like, the ooze history, and none of the turtles understand it, and they're like, good enough. And they just move along. Like, that's fine. We understand there's something weird about it.
You
it's
need
fine.
The lobe from Freakazoid to guide you on this quest.
Anything to guide you on this quest.
In fact, Shredder has the line where he's on the roof.
Abandon the quest!
Splinter has that line. He's like, I've been sitting on the roof pondering for hours. Yeah. And it's just, the label's the same. And you're just like, no. This is something you get in 5 seconds. Yeah. It just says TGRI.
What else are you doing up there, old man?
He's in an opium den. He's turned the roof of the building into an opium
Splinter
den.
Splinter does do a good job being like, guys, dude, just go do whatever you want to do. I gotta sit and be quiet. Just need quiet.
And they did nothing to hide the fact that he was a puppet. You know, like, the other guys, they make the fight choreography go around them, so you're like, oh, okay, they're kind of fighting. He appears in an actual fight scene, like, twice. Once holding a bow and arrow, once the rest of the time he's just sitting on a pile where the puppeteer can hide underneath. Like,
you do see him walking with a cane once, don't you?
Which is impressive.
Yeah.
But again,
like Tiny Tim in Muppet Christmas Carol.
These can
be done.
These are the Muppets. They're actually very impressive.
Yeah.
This is the laziest they've been.
That's a thing I didn't remember, was that these are Muppets. This is a Henson.
Something.
You know, studio movie or series.
Henson doesn't want you to remember.
Yeah, well, not their best.
I can't imagine what it would have been like to have been in those suits. Like...
Oh, yeah.
Like, because the mouths move, but in a very robotic way, so I imagine they're breathing through their eye holes.
Yeah, the whole head's animatronic, so, like, yeah, what are they breathing through?
That must have been a nightmare.
Oh, God.
They're not paid enough.
No, I don't remember the first one at all. I don't remember anything about the third one. So this is the only one I remembered anything from. Yeah. And it's, there's what I remembered, and there really wasn't anything else in the movie. So I kind of understand my memory a little bit about this. But I know I watched it all the time at home. Yeah. And, I agree with Aaron. I'm sorry, Mom. Sorry, Dad. I hope you were on the other side of the house. And thank you for putting up with me in my Ninja Turtle phase.
I'm 90% sure, building off of you guys, when I saw this as a kid, it was something my mom and Dad rented when they went out, and this was the babysitter's job to deal with. You know, like something like embarrassing like that. Because I didn't see this in theaters. I just
put on the Ninja Turtle movie. They love that one.
We're going to dinner for the next exactly 96 minutes. Or whatever it was. You know, actually, building off of what Scott said as well, I was thinking the whole time this feels more like an NES video game. Like, it's just like, oh no, maybe he's here now. And they run across, and then there's a fight scene, and then they're just kind of traced along. Although those usually started with April being kidnapped, so there was some reason for them to keep going. But there was no, like...
Your April
nothing.
Is in another castle.
There was nothing. I guess there was technically a Save the Cat moment, because they rescued Kano. But otherwise, there was no game. There was nothing set up. They were just like...
No stakes at any point in time. Just a lot of pizza. That's it.
And at one point, you even pointed out they didn't change the background music when the fight scene started.
Yeah.
even the conductor was like, I mean, I know they're fighting, but there's no drama here. So I'm just gonna leave the music kind of calm. At some point, the director's like, wait, whoa, hey, no, they're fighting. Do something. Hey.
I guess we have to at some point this next season watch like Three Ninjas or Surf Ninjas. So we see another 90s ninja movie where something might happen. Tum-Tum, light up the eyes.
I will bet you right now that is way more unwatchable than this. There's no way that's easier to watch. Little kids.
Oh, I don't know.
Ninjas.
Precocious 1990. Kids versus pun-making turtles.
Oh. Yeah, but...
That's not a bet I even want to take part in.
We're going to shove something into your eye. It's either going to be a nail or a thumbtack. Which would you prefer?
Yeah, right.
That's what you can write on fanfiction.net, a crossover between three ninjas and the Ninja Turtles.
Don't give anyone ideas, Matt.
Oh, God. Yeah, I'm
no
out.
Ninja. No ninja.
Brilliant, Candace. Brilliant.
I got nothing else. Yeah, this is weird. If you have to watch one of these, I'd say I like the first one better, but frankly, I'm pretty sure all of them are indifferent. Pick one, watch it. However, I can't beat Candace's line. So with that, tune in next week and hopefully every week for the next couple seasons as we put another little bit of your past on trial. Thanks, guys. Keep listening.
Woo!
Mic check, 1, 2, 1, 2.
Okay, you ready?
1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2.
You ready?
1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2.
You ready? Sound good now. Here we go.
Myopia Defend Your Childhood is brought to you by DudeLetter.com and is part of the ESO Network. It's hosted by Nick Hoffman, edited by Nick Hoffman, and produced by Ann Burns. Our graphic designer is Scott Miller. The theme song is Caroline, written and performed by the Serenaders. Purchase their music through the Amazon link on DudeLetter.com and at MyopiaPodcast.com. Want to help us out? Go to MyopiaPodcast.com/Amazon and purchase stuff like normal. Myopia gets a piece of the action. Questions or comments? Please visit myopiapodcast.com or contact us at myopiapodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at myopiapodcast and at dudeletter, and find us on Facebook, Stitcher, and iTunes. And while you're there, please rate and review our show. It helps us out greatly. We are also brought to you today by HGTV, reminding you that Vanilla Ice's home repair show exists. Please watch. Honestly, the man's a money pit. Tune in next week when we'll put another little piece of your past on trial.